Previously on the Steve and Jeff Show. Hey, Jeff, isn't it great to be back in the big studio?
Doesn't it feel good not to be in trouble anymore?
That sounds like good advice.
And she said, all of them.
You know, Jeff, it's so interesting that you would say that.
I'm excited to be here to really set the record straight. Protestant, not a prostitute.
So he can ride in the carpool lane to the Dodger game.
Kind of like mine. I have a little bit better shape than she does, but you can't always get it right.
To a psychopath, and he was like a neat freak.
Yeah, Aaron Gobrakovich.
Single white Protestant female, that Notting Hills area.
Big Rom, little Com.
I know a lot about Eric.
It's a sensitive topic.
I think we should ask our lawyers before you say anything further. Right, people? Be sure and follow or subscribe to The Steve and Jeff Show wherever you listen to podcasts. And now, here's Steve and Jeff. Well, hey, Jeff, great to be back. I am so excited being in this studio again.
You know what, Steve? Today is our anniversary. It's our 70th show, three funny ones.
We'll get 70. It right eventually.
And I look back on all of the people that we've interviewed, all the quirky and strange and fun experiences we've had. And Steve, it's just been a wonderful experience and looking forward to the next 70.
Me too. And here's a toast, you know, metaphorical toast to the next 70.
I'm sorry. I went off script here. How's it going, Steve?
That's an important line.
You would
line
think
in the
after
script.
70, I would probably figure out how to start it.
You say a line 70 times, you're supposed to know it. You know, I don't know, but I digress. Did you have a good week here, Jeff?
Didn't really do much, just kind of hung out with the fam. What about you?
I spent this week, it was mostly me and my mom, you know. I hung out at my mom's and Johnny was there. Johnny's always around, underfoot. It's embarrassing. But anyway, I binge watch as many superhero movies as I could find. Oh my gosh, I love those superhero movies. You know, the Marvel franchise is just phenomenal.
Captain America, I think, is my favorite, although I'm a fan of Batman, but so many of them are different characters, you know, different actors playing it. But yeah, I just love all of them. Anyone in particular?
I had been a big fan of Iron Man, you know, but I ran across one that I didn't even know existed. It was a love story. It was a superhero movie, but it was a love story. It was Lois and Clark. It was cool.
Like a love affair, like from the beginning, like what was it about?
It involved, you know, Lois Lane and Superman. You know, it really could involve any couple. It really talked about how it's hard to have a good relationship and to really be with somebody long-term that way. It's very hard. And especially when your partner's going to be on the road, it's not going to be home a lot. I mean, I know when I'm not home, my wife says, bye. No, but she says, gosh, where you been? You know, you've been gone so long. It's very hard. And wondering when they're going to come home. And that really can put a strain on a relationship, you know. But Jeff, you know, I think honesty. If you're just honest with each other, that can get you through a lot.
I think you're absolutely right. Those are words of wisdom.
Good example. In one scene, Lois and Clark, they were celebrating their 10th anniversary, which, you know, really in the comics, it's more like their 80th anniversary. But let's call it their 10th, right? So suddenly Lois starts to tear up a little bit. And she says, Clark, I have to confess something to you. It's been bothering me for years. I've never told you this, but I got to tell you now. Years ago, I had an affair with Superman. It's just a one-nighter. Regretted it ever since. Hope you can forgive me. Well, Clark decides, you know, he's at that point where he says, I think I'm ready to come out. And now I never understood why nobody ever said to him, you know, Mr. Kent, you look exactly like Superman in glasses. But nobody ever said that to him ever. It's a comic. What are you going to do? So he takes off his glasses and he says, Lois, don't worry about a thing. I am Superman. You didn't know it was me, but hey, to me, you were always faithful. Oh. I thought, oh, that was great. And Lois is just so grateful. She says, oh, gosh, I can't tell you what a weight that is off my chest. And Clark says, yeah, you know, it's just, I'm so glad that we cleared that up. And your honesty, again, was just so impressive. And so then they hug and Lois backs up a little bit and says, so I guess that means you were Batman, too. So. It was a fun week, though. It really was. Knocking back the pop-offs with my mom. And, you know, hey, for a 90-plus-year-old woman with a new baby and this gigolo of an announcer that we got, she's hanging in there. She can put vodka away better than a University of Iowa student. Like, it's just unbelievable.
I was going to tell you my favorite Marvel story as well, but I just realized that we have a guest in the studio. And he's been in the studio before.
Yes.
When we had that problem.
I thought he looked familiar just on the other side of that glass.
Yeah, I met him at that inventors convention.
Yeah.
Remember? And he said that he invented electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And
his name I was a little skeptical, but you know, hey, I'd like to hear his story.
Me too. His name's Harold Thomas Johnson. I think he's still there. Mr. Johnson, so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Steve and Jeff, for having me on the show, finally actually being on the show, as opposed to I feel equally excited to be the creators of the first podcast show in the history of the world. I've been a big fan for many years.
Well, Mr. Johnson, I got to tell you, you are so welcome, but I really should be thanking you, because we couldn't have created the first podcast without electricity. You invented electricity. We could have used it a couple of weeks ago. Well, we did have you a couple of weeks ago, well, but hey, you know.
Well, and see, that kind of leads to the problem, Joe. But while you are quite welcome, I didn't really invent the kind of electricity that powers computers or lights. I invented static electricity. Quite a different thing, but equally important.
Oh, yeah. Now, static electricity, that's electricity that doesn't go anywhere, right? That's really an interesting kind of electricity. It's stable. How did you discover it? How did you invent static electricity?
It was really all quite by accident. I was home alone with my new bride out of town. And because of that, I was feeling, you know, kind of lonely. So I turned on the TV and began watching a TV show. And one thing led to another. And there you have it.
Sometimes distance puts a strain on relationships, and sometimes distance leads to the invention of static electricity. That's amazing, Jeff.
I'm a little confused here, Mr. Johnson. So there I have what? What actually happened?
Oh, well, I mean, I was alone. I watched TV. Long story short, one thing led to another, and I figured out, you know, static electricity.
What shows were you watching?
Well, I mean, I was watching the Carol Burnett Show, you know, reruns. You know, I always had a thing for Carol, and she had such, you know, long, sexy legs. And I love that, you know, thing she does with tugging her ear. And so it just sort of got me to tugging too. And before you knew it, a shock hit me, you know, like a bolt of lightning. And there you have it.
I can understand, because I used to love that show. You know, the Harvey Korman and Tim Conway were so funny, and I understand the attraction to Carol Burnett, but for me, it was more Vicki Lawrence, but kind of the same thing, kind of the little static electricity going with old Vicki there.
I never really could understand Mama's Family well enough to, it just didn't feel right.
Actually, my obsession, we kind of broke up my obsession, right, with the Mama's Family. I never got that either.
Yeah.
But when she would come on and sing, ooh yeah. Ooh, no, I like, buddy. Ooh.
Yeah, well, yeah, again,
now you're talking.
It also kind of reminds me of our show, Steve, because remember Carol Burnett, it seemed like everybody was cracking up. They were doing, you know, and sometimes we've had serious people on the show and I just start laughing. And you know, and it's sort of like I feel like I'm in one of the skits with Tim Conway. He always cracks me up.
Oh, absolutely.
You
know,
Steve, you kind of remind me a little bit of Tim Conway when we're talking.
I'm a little shorter, but yeah, it's kind of the same.
I bet Steve's got some stories about elephants.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know if we have time tonight, but we can talk a little bit of, I got some elephant stories you wouldn't believe. Oh my gosh. Ooh. They don't forget. Let me tell you, they really don't. But what I'm wondering is, with the Carol Burnett Show, you know, off the air for so long, and you know, it's hard, hard to catch on reruns. Carol Burnett is your spark, is your battery, is your assault. How do you create that kind of energy when you're not watching the Carol Burnett Show?
It does take a lot of experimentation to get control of it. You know, again, we didn't have cable TV back then. So there was just something a little bit special about, you know, it was limited to the three main network shows. And I don't know if it's just a combination of having to be closer to the TV at the time, since they were so small, And, yeah, you know, just having all of that metal with the knobs and such. And again, my hand was on multiple knobs at the time. So I was just trying to like figure things out. And then so I had to kind of get that inventory spark. And it wasn't necessarily, I kind of had to move on to like non-static related inventions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I invented another thing, the manual air pump.
You know those long,
I had one of those. Those long round cylinders with a long tip where the air came out of, you know, anything, you know, when you were trying to blow stuff up. And it was kind of old school, but to get it to work, you had to go up and down, pump up and down, up and down, often for like hours. And then finally you blew your balls up. You know, whatever you wanted to blow up, you blew up. And it just took a lot of work to perfect that, you know, but I finally did it.
You know, I remember I had one of those as a kid. It was so rusty, you know, because I'd left it out of the, you know, it rained on it. And it was so rusty. You really had to whack that thing. You had to spank it to really get that to work. But once it worked, it would blow up anything.
Yeah, I had more wrist injuries trying to whack rusty air pumps.
Yeah, and it is all in the wrist.
I remember my parents would say to me, "What's going on with your right hand? It's all calloused." And I'd say, "Well, you know, I've just been spending a lot of time blowing up my balls." And, you know, they would say, "Okay, just, you know, be careful." And
you did have to be careful. Your parents were right. You did have to be careful because if you overinflated those balls would explode.
Yeah. And then you would go, and if you were too close, you might go blind.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Again, ball maintenance was the top priority for me. And again, that was the thing, you know, for the longest time, I would end up blowing up a lot of basketballs and they'd all explode.
Sure.
You know? And you don't know if you ever really perfected it, because every once in a while you would, you know, one day it's a perfectly great ball. It's primed. It's ready to go. You're ready to, you know, get your hand and get a good grip and go up and down on the boards with it. And then the next day it's either deflated, or the first time you give a good whack on it, it just blows up in your face.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
Me too. And I had that problem too. It took a lot of practice, and Lord knows I did a lot of practicing blowing up these balls. And I had the help of my wife, Kathy. She was great. She just knew just how to work the pump and to tell me when to stop. And it was just before the balls would explode. It was kind of like she had a sixth sense. I have to hand it to her. And often I did.
You know, funny you should say that, Jeff, because I remember as a kid, you know, I had a few basketballs, but I had one that was it was from the old ABA. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the old ABA. Yeah. And they were different colors. And the basketball I had was blue. And however much I pumped it constantly. I stroked that pump. You know, I practically beat the ball with the pump. And it just never fully inflated. Didn't feel full. And it never really exploded.
Well, see, this is the thing, Steve. And I do apologize. You know, if I was your friend when I was around there, I would have been more than happy to lend you a hand. Because sometimes it's just the awkwardness. Yeah, and sometimes what I have to do is use my left hand. So then in my mind, it feels like another person is blowing up the ball. And it's just so I can observe it.
That is brilliant. I bet that would have worked. You know,
it really helped having a blue ball buddy.
I could have used a blue ball buddy because I liked that ball so much. I got some more and I had a bunch of blue balls. And they were all the same, though. I had the same problem with all of them. We got some more questions, and Jeff, we'll get right to your question after this. But Jeff, we've got a repeat sponsor tonight.
Can't imagine who. Is it round and rubbery?
You're so close. You know, now that Appropriation Station owns everything, and now that Mr. Rich, the Russian dude, owns
Rich Man
Appropriation Station, we're still running the ads. I don't know that we're going to continue, but I think for now, why don't we just keep running those ads? And this is one they asked for specifically tonight. If you want the best Vietnamese pho soup in the metro area, try some hearty pho at the king of Asian fusion, Pho King. Bring your friends and enjoy the Pho King ambience. Or if you're in a hurry, you can take some home from our special Pho King drive-thru. Serve your whole family with a Pho King kettle. Or spoil yourself with our individual serving Pho Cups. Our loyal customers often have a Pho Cup at home, a Pho Cup in the car, or even a Pho Cup at work. Wherever you go, you can have a Pho Cup of your very own. And we're more than just Pho at Pho King. We also have Pho King Barbecue, Pho King Salads, and Fa King sandwiches. Everything we serve is made with our own special Fa King love and care. Join our King and Queen Club, and we will treat you like Fa King royalty. You haven't had Fa until you've had Fa King Fa. It's not just good, it's Fa King good. Ah, once again, a taste for hot Vietnamese soup is strong. Anyway, Jeff, you were about to ask a question.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, are there any other inventions that you created that you'd like to tell us about?
Oh, yeah, of course. Plenty. There was one directly connected to the hand pump, as we discussed. I was testing a lot of like hand pumps for a while. I nearly broke every ball I tested. It was so frustrating. So I just throw the old ball away, and then I'd start on another one. And it got really kind of expensive after a while. So I thought it'd be best to invent something that would be inexpensive and disposable. So I tried balloons. But those were too big, and they exploded as well. You know, so again, it wasn't really solving the problem. So finally, I was able to create something much smaller, thinner, and yet pretty sturdy there. To create that, I tried several materials, but we really struggled to find the right, you know, elasticity and strength, because you got to have them both. You can't be rigid and it can't be too weak. You got to make sure it works. Right. So I finally discovered the solution one night when I was playing with rubber bands, you know, and then all of a sudden I realized they were perfect. Okay. So they were easy to work with, you know, they stretched a lot, which was necessary for a lot of my experiments. So I created a prototype, you know, I tried to do a nickname out of the materials. So of course I called them rubbers, you know, and commissioned a company to manufacture some to, you know, to help me get through my pumping testing. And little did I know that people actually kind of like these small elongated balloons. And eventually I just sold the patent to a guy, you know, who made a ton of money off of it. And I was just like, you know, I figured he had a bunch of pumps he was trying to work with, and this would be perfect. I don't really know, you know, what people use them for, but I mean, I guess he made a bunch of money off of it. So, you know, if I ever find him again, you know, I'll shake his hand and say, you know what, Steve Trojan, you sure took my invention and you ran with it.
I got to tell you, I've been a customer of those for years. I'm not totally sure what they're used for anyway, but they're just great for like storing things in. And one of the problems, though, is that some of them have this little like lines around the side. And sometimes when you're throwing coins in there, I use them as like a coin purse sometimes. And throwing quarters in there, especially, they hit against those, I don't know what you call them, ribs or something on the side.
I remember in college, we used to fill them up with water and then drop them off the side of the deck. You know, we were on the second floor. So that was always fun for that.
I mean, sure, it would kind of work, I guess. I mean, we did try to test them to make sure that, you know, they would have the ability to burst. As far as that goes, but it would take a lot of effort to really break one. I mean, assuming that you use them fresh out of the gate, you know, sometimes I always wanted to like imagine I had sweaty hands when I was using the pumps. So I would, you know, cover the rubber in like I'm trying to think of the proper word, but it's like a lubricant, I think is what I want to use. And so I would, you know, make sure that the rubber was nice and lubed up. And then I would try to use my other hand to kind of go up and down and up and down. And again, I did try it, you know, every once in a while, because I knew that these might get popular with the blue balls. So I had to kind of use the other one. And then while holding the other one with the hand and then going up and down again, trying to make it feel like it's another person. And it was really a lot. And again, I wish I could go back to the days where that was a brand new thing. It's lost its luster, but I wish I could just catch static electricity in a bottle.
I need to thank you, because I broke a lot of balls as well along the way and eventually got Steve Trojan's product. And it's been really good, although it's not foolproof. And, you know, broke a few of those along the way, which kind of led to, you know, to a large family for us. But in general, you know, they did the trick. I would have to say that most of them were still a little too big for me to handle. You know, I like the smaller ones.
Well, I mean, what you do is you fold it in half. And then you can use it twice.
You're folding the balloon in half.
Yes, folding the balloon in half. Okay. When you want to use this, when you have just smaller balls, you're folding the balloon in half.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson, speaking of family, Jeff had mentioned family. I think you had said that you're married. Is your wife an inventor as well?
Yes. Sylvia and I met at a IIC convention. She's vetted many things that many people use all the time. You know, she's more on the female side of the focus. Women use her inventions all the time.
Can you give an example of something she's invented that we might be aware of?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. Her first big invention, I think, was a muscle massager, if I remember correctly. I mean, it uses electronic, you know, power vibrations and impulses to, you know, stimulate the muscles almost anywhere on a woman's body. She came up with the idea after watching the Carol Burnett show as well, actually.
That's a very productive show.
Well, I mean, she did a lot of singing and dancing on that show. Plus, she just loved Lyle Wagner. So she actually put up a poster of him above the bed. That's what she appreciated the work he did.
I know Kathy had a crush on Lyle, too. I think every woman had a crush at time or another. Mm-hmm. And also, I know that Kathy is a customer and has a few of those massagers, not the poster anymore, but some of the massagers that she uses regularly, especially after a hard day or as a reward for a job well done.
Absolutely.
But you say it's only for women. I think I would enjoy using it too. I know sometimes I need it. What about you, Steve?
I really could benefit from that. Kind of a personal massage, if you will. Mm-hmm. I bet Kathy is great because all that practice her wrist had when she was helping you with the pumps, I mean, that's going to pay off with this.
It's almost synergistic, if you will. So she saw that. It's a case where her brain was like, wow, those dancers with their sore muscles and tired feet and arms and legs and, you know, other areas. And, you know, you just want to make sure it's able to work. And so, you know, and you talk about men. Yeah, mostly, again, a lot of women do use the massagers, but you never know. It's one of those things where, yeah, either one of you gentlemen, I think, you know, you do a lot and can be sore. Obviously, sure. You guys work real hard doing this. A lot of muscle strain in pushing your own path and becoming podcasters.
It's a lot more physical than it looks. It looks like we're just sitting here, but there's a lot to it. Is this device? This device is pretty big, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, this device can come in all shapes and sizes and colors, and you can search for the one that's, you know, just right for you. Also, it runs on batteries. It's waterproof, or at least, you know, moisture proof.
That's important. Is there a top brand that you would recommend? Because I think we need to buy one of those. I think she's up for, she hasn't had bought a new one for quite a while, and maybe you could promote it on the show, and maybe we could even get them as an advertiser.
If I had to pick one off the top of my head, I think the most popular brand out there is the Bella Thorne's Bunny Ear Bestie. I hear it's quite good.
You have such a interesting creative background. Are you working on anything now that we could expect in the near future that would maybe change our lives for the better?
I am so happy that you asked me this. Yeah, I am working on something that will revolutionize the world. Okay. It's an invention I originally created in the 1950s. I know I look real good for my age.
Oh, yeah.
But it never really caught on. Okay. So picture this. Do you remember the X-ray vision glasses?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of look like the Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah.
Talking about earlier.
Yeah. It's like Clark Kent with like those circles around his
with
eyes.
With those circles. Yeah. Okay, so perfect. I got distracted with other things. I never really got the bugs out, but now I am. I am almost there, okay? But instead of using them as glasses, I have found a way to convert them into tiny cameras.
Ooh.
Exactly. That it can be loaded into anyone's phone. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant, if I don't say so myself. Okay. I am actually, and I hate to do this to you, I'm testing a prototype right now on campuses of a number of college dorms. Okay.
Yeah.
So far, the results have been exciting. Okay. I'm in the observation stage at this point, which can be boring, but you know, somebody's got to do it. It's just my only problem so far is that it seems for some reason static electricity seems to be affecting the quality of the video. With a little more work, I should get that fixed out.
that sounds really exciting. You know, when would you be able to send a couple over to Jeff and I when you have a chance, and you know, maybe we'll promote it and help with sales. And if you need someone to test it, hey, I'm raising my hand. I think Jeff is too.
Me too. My left hand.
And it's good because the right hand gets sore a lot. So I can absolutely get you one of those as soon as I make another prototype of it.
Oh, well, that's great. Mr. Johnson, we are just about to get kicked out of Eccentric Ladyland Studios here, and we just got back in, so I really hate to get kicked out. But but thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. I know that we're going to be looking forward to your inventions and seeing more things from you in the future. And you've given the world a lot of nice gifts, but we actually have some nice gifts for you.
Yeah.
Johnny, what do we have for this creative inventor?
Right, Steve. What a stroke of good luck our guest will have when he grabs onto the patented and highly ignored Lubriglove. Get a grip on new inventions with the naturally synthetic Lubriglove by House of Flagellate, an appropriation station company. And here's a deal you can't beat. Enjoy your free tickets to a performance by Joni Jiloff playing her haunting magic vibraphone. You'll be close enough to rub one out yourself from your front row seats at the new, slick Astroglide Arena, parking not included. And you'll really stand out in your brand spanking new car, all yours for 1 hour, a quick one from Portnoy Motors, with a nauseating number of locations throughout the metro. This has been a KY production, in association with Spank and Flog Media. Be sure and follow or subscribe to The Steve and Jeff Show wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Johnny speaking. I don't know why Steve called me a gigolo. I don't take money from his mom. Tonight, we're having curry mac and cheese with a gallon of pop-off. Steve's welcome to join us anytime if he can get his mind off that 65 Impala. Talk about smooth. Good night.